camera. Action, folks. Murray throws. Touchdown, Arizona. DeAndre Hopkins. Quarterback draw. Murray, can he get there? Touchdown!
Perfect. Welcome to episode 155 of the British Bird Gang Breakdown. And this is usually our sort of like mid-season review of sorts, but we're not actually mid-season anymore. We're like sort of 66% of the season. Yeah, that doesn't really roll off the tongue. So, you know, mid-season review, Arizona Cardinals, British Bird Gang Breakdown. What more do you want? It's Tom. It's Callum. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom. How you doing? Very odd vibe, I think, for this year's mid-season review. As you said, much, much later in the season than we normally would have it. And yeah, this being such a late bye week was something that we actually talked about at the start of the season. Although at the start of the season, we were talking about it insofar as that we thought maybe it might disrupt a good season or a good run. And actually, when it's come, we've been much more pleased to see it come than not.
Yeah, I think it was more of the thing we were thinking pre-season. You know, it'll be like, hopefully this is like a late bye week so we can like rest up for the final run-in. But now we'd rather it not be the run-in and we'd rather sleep through the rest of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just see what comes at the end of it, because you know, it's been one of those years for the Cardinals.
Absolutely. And I got to say, I would be quite glad if we could get to a point where we could not have a Cardinals loss every week as we did this week. That was, you know, I don't even mind not winning. I just don't want to lose.
So you want us to tie basically five games for the rest of the season?
Well, I've just, you know, this week us not losing was a really like welcome thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's still other teams left to let us down though this week, yeah. I suppose.
Oh yeah, well, absolutely. The rest of sports maybe not so kind, but
yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know, where do we actually begin with this episode? Because, you know, usually we'd start with news, but again, not really any news to talk about, because I think Cliff Kingsbury gave them basically the whole week off, didn't he? Even though they've done nothing to deserve that.
Yeah, normally like a week off would be a big earned thing, right? It would be like something you look forward to as a team if you're performing really well. But I don't know, to me this week off has a lot more of the vibe of you know, what's the point? What's the point in us staying and doing more stuff? We're not going to get any better. We're not going to be able to win anything in the end anyway. So why doesn't everyone just go home?
I mean, we still have the chance of possibly having a over 500 season. But I mean, to do that, we do need to win like the last five games and, yeah, you know,
basically win out. Yeah.
And they've basically won four games the rest, like the first 12 weeks of the season, whatever.
Yeah.
I've lost count anyway these days. Just don't
care.
Yeah.
We're 12 weeks in and the Cardinals are sitting at 4-8. That to me, you know, the second place in our division is 7-5. To me, I think, you know, we're all but out of any thoughts of the postseason. You know, we have been for a couple of weeks now, I think. I'm sure.
We're basically just feeling like the Korea Republic at the moment, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. Just like, you know, no hope, no chance of getting through. And then the question is what do you start playing for at that point?
I mean, there's not really anything to play for. So it's like, if you got to play for the coach, don't know. You got to play for their own futures, obviously, because, you know, if they play really badly, then who wants to sign them to like big money deals if they're going to quit on a team halfway through a season?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of the problems with the draft system in US sports as well, right? Because in a way, at this point, the Cardinals are just going to be penalized for playing well in any of the rest of their five games.
Yeah, but like I say, they haven't played well, particularly in the rest of the other 12 games. So what makes us think really that the next five games, or the last five games rather, are going to be any different whatsoever?
Well, absolutely. We're going to talk in a little bit about some of the predictions that we made at the start of the season, which are looking laughably confident, and the pace that we're on to certain records, you know, through to the end of the year. And it's really a sort of portrait of a pretty abysmal year.
And obviously, if things do pan out like the way that you think, you know, like when it comes to like these predictions, you know, it's like heads will roll come the end of the season, we think.
Yeah, I think I'm very much still in this camp. And it's something we discussed at the end of last week was, you know, what outcomes do the back of house staff and the coaching staff need from the rest of the season to like ensure that their jobs are safe? And I think the conclusion we came to was, if they manage to win out, then everyone's jobs are safe. It's totally fine. Anywhere between 2 and 4 wins for the rest of the season. It's sort of varying levels of plausible, and one or less, you know, it starts to be like a well over 50% chance that that Cliff and or Keim are gone by the end of January.
I mean, the one good thing about this week being a bye week is the fact that I've not been able to sit on Twitter on the Cardinals account and be like, have people bombard, say like, fire Keim, fire Cliff, each every minute of a game, because there wasn't a game to talk about, and I just basically avoided the account as much as possible. Only to like poke the bear like a couple of days ago, like saying, you know, at least we can't get that this week. And then obviously in the comments, everyone's like, yeah, fire Cliff still. We're not taking a week off, all that sort of stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, as I say, don't have great, you know, great thoughts about doing it. I don't think it's the right move necessarily, but I'm beginning to see their point a lot more and more. I would love to see the you know, slate of possible replacements before we made a decision like that, but the rest of the season is definitely do or die.
I mean, we haven't really talked about any news because we haven't had any. There was still an episode of Hard Knocks to watch, though, this past week, or, like we say, not watch, because we can't see it in the UK still.
Yeah, it's still not... I don't understand why they don't stick it on the, you know, NFL Game Pass or something like that properly, but there you go. Yeah, Hard Knocks, another episode where not a lot happens. You know, it's a really difficult type of show to follow, week on week, when you know the result of the games. I have a bit of a feeling that the this test case of in-season Hard Knocks, I mean, admittedly, you know, it's tough with it being the Cardinals and the type of season that they're having, but it's interesting where there's like any actual real drama, they like completely face away from it, and then they kind of try and make up some sort of drama otherwise, but it's always a really poorly done thing.
Well, I mean, it's not the first time we've had this season. You see, I did it with the Colts a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's true. But it's been away for a little while, and I think, you know, maybe they might be remembering why it's been away for a while.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we wanted to see what happens behind the scenes of the Cardinals, but, you know, when bits are censored or it's like a really bad season like this has been, it's like, no, we don't really want to see that, actually. But, you know, thankfully we can't see it, like I say, because no one can see it legally in this country. So
absolutely.
We still don't know what happens, you know, with the Cardinals.
So, well, the question I had, do you know if it's going to follow through to the end of the season?
I mean, it's supposed to follow on to the postseason as well, but, you know.
Yeah,
well, that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. A real shame to sort of see it, you know, so hobbled, because clearly, like, The stuff that would be really interesting is all the stuff that they're cutting out, right?
I mean, yeah, I suppose people do want to see Eno Benjamin getting cut after allegedly having we can't say anything like that because it could be completely bollocks and, you know, someone may sue us. So something happened with Eno Benjamin that may or may not have happened. So we can't see it anyway or hear about it or anything.
And same with some of the like, you know, on the field arguments that we kind of know are happening as well. I know they show some of them, but... or not so much on the field, but like on the sideline arguments and things. You know, sometimes you see a bit of a skirmish during the game and you think, oh, right, well, that'll be interesting to see. And then it just gets completely cut.
Yeah, I mean, we do obviously see like Kyler Murray having like sometimes shouting at coaches, you know, disagreements with players. We've seen all that before, though. But it's like, I mean, we did see, obviously not Cardinals related, but the Denver Broncos last week. One of the players got in the faces of Russell Wilson.
I know, right? To be honest, I can kind of get it. The Let's Ride season is just not going very well over there, is it?
Yeah, I mean, I have seen something else that made me laugh on Twitter earlier today. Was basically, you've got like a scale going on, because Russell Wilson's mansion has 13 bathrooms. And it's basically trying to get to see how long it takes Russell Wilson to throw as many touchdowns as he has bathrooms in his house.
I think he's on 9 or something now.
Yeah, he needs to average at least one touchdown the rest of the season to actually just match the total.
Yeah, that's wild. That is absolutely insane. I mean, like, we're over here having a bad season as Cardinals fans, but oh my goodness, if you're a Broncos fan and you've got Russell Wilson coming over, I mean, that's starting to go down as one of the most historically dreadful trades I've ever seen.
I mean, we could talk about bad trades as well, but like, the Rams, they're having such a terrible season, and they're not going to have their first round pick.
Yeah, of course. I always forget this. You know, they're potentially even going to be, they potentially even would be picking ahead of us, but no luck.
Yeah, I think there's someone else as well. Is it Philadelphia? Do they have someone's first round pick who's struggling?
I think so. There's quite a lot of movement this year. There's quite a lot of interesting first round picks up for grabs. There was also, yeah, there was someone who's not getting like a first this year or next, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's the sort of thing you play with, though, isn't it? Like, the amount of times people were saying, like, you know, Steve Carr should trade this first round pick away and then we can trade for someone. But say you did that last year and obviously you get, like, using the 2023 first round pick.
Exactly, yeah.
And, like, we have this season now where we're 4-8, you know, possibly picking top 10. Like, I think we would be in mock draft at the moment. So, like, that would have to be a damn good player to be like, oh, yeah, he was worth getting rid of this top 10 pick
for. Yeah, it's worth one of the top 10 talents out there. Although, to be fair, it's also a Steve Keim pick. So, you know.
Yeah, he'd probably waste it anyway, wouldn't he?
Exactly. On some alpha-tagged leader boy from a college you've never heard of.
I mean, it's not one of those things. Like, I mean, obviously, once again, we see the stupid stuff where people are like, you know, we should have got CD Lamb instead. It's like, Isaiah Simmons is not a bad player. He's not playing as well as he could be, you know.
I think
he's
also
all over the field. So
yeah, I think he's also from, again, we'll get on to some of the predictions we made. He's been one of the most healthy players on the squad this year, and he's also getting much closer to his you know, predictions that we gave for him at the start of the season than anyone else is.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's not. He did have that sort of period where they take snaps off him and like benched him, so he had to earn them back. But he's done that more and like exceeded expectations, I'd say.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he's playing a lot more like a franchise player these days. And yeah, I don't know. I think it would have been brilliant to get CD Lamb in, but also, you know, if you want to start playing alternative timelines, I say if we've got CD Lamb, we're probably not trading for DeAndre Hopkins, despite how good a deal it was.
I mean, we could have had DeAndre Hopkins and CD Lamb, you know, just using a first and second round pick.
But, and Hollywood Brown, you know.
I think we would have needed Hollywood Brown with those two, though. But, you know, yeah. if they wanted it to happen and, you know, it was another first round pick, then whatever.
And then we just don't get any new talent, new top 30 talent for, you know, 3 years or whatever. But still, that's all besides the point, because you know, the first round pick that we're getting this year, again, hopefully sort of top 10-ish, unless the Cardinals do something really silly like win, you know, just enough.
Yeah, just win enough to like put us into like the mid-teens, and then mean we have to like stay up till 3-4 o'clock in the morning to see who we pick,
and, you know, probably just get someone not exactly mediocre. Obviously, like, any first round pick is going to be good talent, but someone a lot less sort of relevant, I guess, or immediately useful.
It'll always be the wrong pick, though. You know, the person on Twitter will know a better pick straight away, though.
absolutely. But yeah, there we go. That's I guess like all of the kind of news we have. We don't really have any at all.
I mean, it's not really news. It was just basically blended it in from talking about nothing to like basically bitching about the whole season, which is what our season recap so far is pretty much going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I've got very little good stuff to say about the season. I guess we could go through, you know, we do in fact, despite how you might think from the way we're talking, we do in fact have 4 wins to our name, and those are against the Raiders in week 2, against the Panthers in week 4, against the Saints in week 7 and against the Rams in week 10. You know, a couple of those a bit of a sort of squeaky win, I guess, especially the Raiders game.
Yeah, I mean, like, it doesn't feel like a 4-win season, does it? It feels like we've won less than 4.
Yeah, well,
interesting. Just for the way everything's going.
Yeah, definitely. And also, like, I was looking at the pattern, and I should have made you guess what our longest losing streak was, but I did tell you before we started that our longest losing streak this season is only 2, which I could have sworn was going to be way, way longer. It feels like we've had, you know, 6 or 8 weeks of losses in a row sometimes.
Yeah, obviously to do is lose and lose and then lose again, but
yeah.
I'm shocked to see it's only 2 like back-to-back losses, but, you know.
Yeah, it's the wins are sort of very evenly dispersed between those. And yeah, only ever sort of 2 back-to-back losses, which, you know, if we win this week, which we'll get on to, you know, maybe that'll extend that streak. But as we said, you know, that we could do worse things than kind of lose out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, but like we say, lose out and then, you know, everything's off the table, isn't it? Like, yeah, anyone could get fired.
Exactly. But yeah, I think looking back on those 4 wins, though, the Raiders, the Panthers, the Saints, and the Rams.
They were all against really bad teams.
They were against all really bad teams. I mean, the Rams one was still really satisfying, as bad as they were.
Yeah, but I mean, they've beaten up on us in like terrible situations, so it was nice to have the boot on the other foot for once.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, the same with the Panthers. They were just in no great shape either. The Raiders were in dreadful shape and have continued to be the rest of the season, but we still let that one go down to the wire.
Yeah, like I say, these wins have been wins, but not necessarily feel like wins.
Absolutely, like, absolutely.
It's just so unsatisfying as a win can be. Like, you know, obviously we have the chance to, I don't know, celebrate Victory Monday, and then we also get the chance to play the lovely jingle.
I feel
I might need to be retired before long, though.
Yeah, it feels sort of disingenuous playing it when we've not had a win, right?
But we had those 4 wins, so we had 4 opportunities to use it.
We did. But, you know, I think one of the reasons that these wins might not feel that satisfying is because we never got above a record of 500 all season. You know, we started off with a loss, then got a win to take us back to 500, lost to go below, a win to go above 500 or to go to 500. And then after that, it was just, you know, below 500 all the way.
Yeah, it's just a mediocre season, isn't it? Because you can't really like put any positive shine on it, really. Only the fact that there's only 5 more games to go, I suppose.
I do think, you know, because we had a couple seasons. Obviously, this is probably the worst season since the Josh Rosen season. Although it's shocking to me that we've already, you know, beaten that record, because that was a 3-win season. But you know, after that, we had a couple sort of mediocre seasons. We won more than this, but at least those felt kind of good because it felt like we were building to something. You know, it felt like, okay, we've got this young quarterback, Kyler Murray, he's like settling himself in, doing all that. But then, yeah, the sort of, you know, we saw from last year what the team can do. So it's just more frustrating this season, seeing the team being unable to produce anything.
Well, I mean, like you say, obviously the first year of Kyler Murray, obviously you can sort of understand only winning 5 games because that roster was dreadful.
Yeah.
Yeah, coming off the season where we were like 3-13. It's
there was a lot of problems inherited in that system.
But there was like positive signs from it. So it was like, yeah, sort of forgive these being only like 5 win teams. But then you follow on the year after, it's like 8 wins. Okay, yeah, fine. But then it's like after this, it's like going to this season. Am I forgetting a season? Is there one between the
two? Yeah, there's an extra one. Because so the season before this one, we won 8 in a row, and then I think managed to win like another couple. So I think it was like a 10 or 12 win season, something around there.
So we basically, second year, we just missed out on the playoffs.
Yeah.
Third year, we made the playoffs and then shit the bed in the playoffs.
Yeah, but at least we made them for the first time. And, you know.
Exactly. So it's like positive building blocks throughout the whole, like the first 3 years of the Cliff Kingsbury regime.
Absolutely. And like, you know, I don't think it needs to be like absolutely completely positive every year. Like, it's okay to kind of go up and down a little bit. But when it's up and down by such a huge amount, it's just no longer, basically what I'm saying is if we just missed out on the playoffs this year because, I don't know, the NFC West was stacked and we kind of got a similar amount of wins, I'd be okay with that. If we, you know, got to the playoffs again and lost again, maybe by not so much, I'd be okay with that. But to go on such a backward step feels dreadful.
I know, it's like you could say, like, it's a metaphor. We got all these building blocks. So year one, we added to it. You know, that was a start. Year two, we added to it. Year three, added a bit more to it. This year, someone seems to have just, like, gone up to this big pile of bricks and kicked them out, kicked, like, the bottom row out.
Yeah.
So it's like we're back to square one, basically.
But the interesting thing is, you know, if you want to stick with that metaphor, it's like all of the pieces that we've used to build this, you know, tower from last year are all still there, so it shouldn't be that difficult to put them all, you know, together in the right order again. Like, we've still got all the same talent. It's not like we've had a big swathe of retirements or really horrible injuries or something like that. It's just an inability to execute.
I mean, we did lose Chandler Jones, you know, that big massive piece. He's done what, I think he's made like one play for the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, he was much more useful for us than he was for the Raiders, so. But, like, if he was going to, you know, fall apart in the same way, then obviously that would have been a missing piece, regardless of if we'd managed to keep him or not.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we just got, like, the last bits of decent play out of him, and then, like, they've been flogged a dead horse, basically.
Yeah, it's very possible. You know, I mean, he's an older player, and I do think, you know, for some players, it all falls apart all at once as well, you know.
I know, yeah, but at least it's their millions wasted and not ours.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Granted, we do waste a lot of millions of our own anyway without the help of aging veteran mercenary players.
Yeah, wasting many millions on good players who just, you know, we still seem to lose games, so who knows?
Yeah, it makes no sense with the Cardinals, does it? It's like, you see other teams run, like, I wouldn't say the same, but, you know, they're able to get money from any, like, they're able to bring in all these players in, like, sort of similar situations to us. And yet here's us with, like, I think we've got to put, like, 4 million cap space.
Yeah.
And then, like, looking into next season, like, the cap situation just looks dire, considering, and then the fact is we've only got, like, half a roster accounting for that sort of money.
I know, that's the scary bit as well, isn't it? Is, like, there are still plenty of gaps in amongst all of that, you know. And the worst part is that some of these gaps have now existed for half a decade.
Yeah. And obviously there's only one person to point the finger of blame at there.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, Steve Kimes is... there's a lot of other teams that have managed to successfully put together at least a sort of minimum viable roster for every year, even if they don't have, you know, the best talent at every position. But I don't know, it feels like for certain things, the Cardinals are just scrabbling, you know, for practice team guys at the start of every season.
Yeah, I just don't understand where it all goes and, like, how... I mean, obviously, when it does go wrong, it just completely implodes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It just seems that way.
One of the big things I would say this year has been, like, how healthy our offensive line has been. You know, there's been very few weeks out of the 12 we've played when we've had the same offensive line lineup between any two of the weeks, you know.
Yeah, and obviously you can't really account for injuries, but I suppose you can account for giving guys with injury histories,
yes,
massive amounts of money and exactly, hoping, you know, that it was just a blip or something, but it turns out they are just basically Darren Anderton in the American football world.
Yeah, but it just, you know, that's the kind of thing that I wonder if, you know, if these sort of smaller contracts is where the cap space is going, you know, because every time you get injured guys, you're going down to, sometimes in these cases, your third and fourth reserves, who all need to get paid somewhere along the way.
Yeah. And, like, obviously when they're putting on these, like, void years in the contracts as well, you know, yeah, that soon mounts up when you're paying a percentage of your cap space on a player who is no longer on the roster.
Yeah, which is just, you know.
I mean, I understand it gets the cap hit down for like a year or two, but then it's like,
it's just when it comes to
like year three, it's like, yeah, where's that $10 million gone? Oh, yeah, it's for a guy who's no longer on the team.
Yeah,
it's,
and has and hasn't been for 2 years or whatever, right? Like, sometimes we seem to do this for people who we then only, you know, keep around for a year.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was Devondre Campbell. You know, he signed that 1 year deal with us for like minimum, but like it, I mean, it came out as minimum, but I'm sure he had like at least a year or two, like void years on the contract. So he was like accounting for like $2-3 million in dead cap space. And he was there like earning millions from the Green Bay Packers at the same time.
And you just think, you know, like all this money, it all adds up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, especially when, I mean, you get some teams who can like work the cap somehow, some ridiculous way, like Kansas City, for example.
Yeah, you I mean, how they've got the players that they have on there and can continue to afford them, you know. But I think also, like, that kind of success begets further success, right? Because the players that are there are willing to take a little bit of a hit to the salary because they know there's a good chance that they're going to win something. Whereas if you're the Cardinals just now, you're going to have a hard time convincing anyone.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard sell to anyone, though, isn't it? Like, yeah, come to Arizona where you may win a couple of games, or go to the Kansas City Chiefs and you may like be in the AFC Championship game every single year.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think, you know, for a lot of players, especially some really good players, like that's an easy sell to them because quite often as well, you get really good players who've spent a long time, you know, they've done their long time in a crap team that's never going to win something. And then all of a sudden they get released, you know, from a long contract or a rookie contract or something. And they think, well, I'm in my prime. I'm going to go and play for the Chiefs, even though they're going to pay me a couple million less. I've got that chance of winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Kind of like the reverse Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, exactly.
He played on some of the worst teams imaginable, and yet, I mean, he stayed here.
He did, yeah. That's the, talk about some loyalty, and especially now that I'm like looking back on it, is it misplaced loyalty? Maybe. I mean, that guy could definitely have got himself a Super Bowl ring at some point.
But I suppose, you know, the money you earned is more than enough, so. Yeah,
well, exactly. I'm sure he'll get over it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to get over it when you're like on a gold-plated bed, you know, like hundreds and millions of dollars in the bank account and, you know, a nice gig on ESPN now.
Yeah,
retirement.
Yeah.
But not retirement, is it? Because he's never actually officially retired.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, I keep forgetting that. But yes, his pseudo-retirement. But I'll tell you who's not going to be luxuriating with millions. It's you and I because, well, especially we're not going to win it with any betting because I've been back through our preseason predictions, and I'm not going to go through them all because, you know, we've got to fill out our postseason content in like 6 weeks with some of these, but we can go through a few kind of highlight ones here and there.
Before we do that, could we talk about betting? Because something annoyed me this week.
Yeah, go on. Tell everyone about your ridiculous ticket.
Yeah, so I had like the early games on the Sunday. Everything came in, and I was waiting on one thing. In the Washington-New York game, the over-under was 40.5. So the game's 20-20 in overtime. So basically, just as long as someone scores something, that bet's going to win.
Oh, so you went over then, right?
No. Yeah, I went for the over 40.5. Uh-huh. And the game finished 20-20. So basically half a point. You had extra 10 minutes of football to play as well, and like Graham Gano missed a field goal as time expired.
Oh man, that's what you get for being from Fife though.
I mean, it's one of those things, like I'd never ever bet the under on American football games because
I know, yeah,
I'm not paying to like, I mean, I'm not like watching a game and like hoping people don't score because that's like pretty much the fun of the game.
Yeah, very true. Very, very true. Oh man, that's such a shame. You're just watching that one game, like really hoping for literally any score.
Yeah, I mean, it went to overtime, and obviously, because I bet on it, I could watch the game. So I was there watching it because we had no game ourselves.
Yeah,
but yeah, that was like 60-1 shot as well. So I mean, I'm not complaining. I don't need the money as such, but it would have been nice to take some money from the bookies. Yeah. Take it off from me.
Absolutely. Well, I think you got closer with that than generally we've got with our predictions so far this year. So with our overall predictions, we had sort of five main categories and a couple subcategories within each of those. So we predicted some stuff about Kyler Murray's season. We predicted something about James Conner's season, Hollywood's season. We predicted a sort of sack race between Marcus Golden and Dennis Gardeck. We predicted some stuff about Isaiah Simmons, and we predicted the season record.
Can we talk about that sack race, though? That's like almost as bad as the one we decided to do last year with Chandler Jones and JJ Watt, where basically they were injured or did nothing after one game.
Yeah, Chandler Jones had that one game with like six sacks or whatever and then just did nothing, and JJ Watt got injured about three games in. But this might be worse than that because Marcus Golden and Dennis Gardeck have both played, you know, a fair amount of it. I think Golden's played 11 games and Dennis Gardeck's played 8 games. So this isn't entirely fair. But you predicted, Tom, 7-6 for the season for Golden versus Gardeck, and I predicted 9-4. And currently it is 1.5-1.
It's dreadful, isn't it?
Yeah. Which I've for all of these things, like I've taken out like what it's gonna be at the end of the season if everyone keeps their pace up. And Marcus Golden's on track for 2 sacks, and Dennis Gardeck is on track for 2 sacks. That's pretty abysmal numbers from those two, really.
Yeah, I mean they're not even rookie numbers, are they?
No, they're really not.
They're just pathetic. But I mean, to be fair, Marcus Golden has been missing pretty much the whole season. He's actually playing the game, but he's not actually doing anything in the games because there's no pass rush threat from him whatsoever, it seems.
Yeah, and Dennis Gardeck obviously been injured for about a third of the season so far. Again, putting up 1 sack on the year.
I think Cam Thomas has got more than that.
Yeah, we've had 2, I think. Some pretty bad offensive lines and some pretty bad quarterbacks as well.
I mean, let's be honest, though. I think we are amongst the lowest sack totals in the whole league, though, aren't we, this year?
Oh, yeah, we are.
Watt's basically the only decent one. I think he's got 6.5, is it, or 7.5 now?
Yeah, he's on track for, like, a sort of, you know, above-average season, I guess. Maybe not for JJ Watt standards, but, like, an above-average season for a defensive lineman. But, yeah, Marcus Golden and Dennis Gardeck, obviously, those are poor numbers.
I feel like JJ Watt's had more sacks in like one season himself than we've had in this whole year combined.
I really wouldn't be surprised, to be honest. I mean, I guess that's the other thing to mention there is that it's clearly not just these guys. Like, it's clearly a systematic problem of the defense as a whole, not being able to get to the quarterback. But, you know.
I think we're scrapping it next year, though. There's not going to be a sack race next year.
Well, we seem to curse whoever we put in the sack race, so maybe we should just try not putting anyone in the sack race.
Yeah, I mean, we should probably just not do anyone in any category, should we? Just scrap the whole thing.
Yeah, that's it. It's done.
It's been a disaster since the start.
Well, I'll tell you someone who's not too far off of their sort of expected trajectory. So you and I both predicted that Kyler would have 4,300-ish and 4,000 passing yards, respectively. And for that to be true, we would expect him to be on about 2,800 or 2,600 just now. And he's on about 2,400. So, it wouldn't take that much of a big game to kind of put him back into track for like having about a 4,000 yard season. He would need to have at least one big game out of it and then kind of keep up the pace with the rest of them. But I think he could break a 4,000 yard season.
Yeah, I mean, but look at like obviously these days, you know, what is an average season for a quarterback? You know, they're throwing for like God knows how much these days, like 4,800 or 5,000, maybe.
4,000 should be like a pretty achievable mark for a quarterback like Kyler Murray.
Yeah, even when he uses his legs, you know, that takes away some of the passing yards. But yeah, the numbers aren't great, are they, for Kyler Murray, isn't it? What is his totals for the other ones at the moment? Like,
yeah, I mean, one of the big ones for me is if we look at passing touchdowns. So you and I both said 33 and 35 total passing touchdowns. He's currently on 14. That puts him on pace to get only 21 for the year, which is like substantially lower than we thought he would be able to get. And, you know, I think he was on about 33, 35 last year as well.
Yeah, he was definitely in the 30s last year. And interceptions as well. I think he's on 7 at the moment this year.
Yeah, so he's on pace for 10.5 interceptions on the year, which is, you know, it's lower than we were predicting at 13 and 15 apiece.
I mean, thankfully, we're not paying him like all the mega money this year because, you know, 21 and 10 is not a great return, is it?
No, not really.
And however many wins that equates to, you know, possibly like 5 or 6 at well, push.
Yeah, absolutely. So like, you know, if we kept up our track of wins just now, we'd be finishing at 6 and 11 on the season. Which would be, I think, you know, that when we were talking earlier about a number of wins that would start pushing us into the kind of stupid category where we just like lose out on picks but don't gain anything, I think getting another 2 wins would definitely be in that category.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, should we talk about that one as well? Because none of us predicted 6 wins, did we? We were both on the positive side of things.
Yeah, we were on the hype train for sure. You predicted 10 wins, I predicted 12. And our Hive Mind collection predicted 8 wins. And yeah,
maybe they were onto something.
Yeah, well, I mean, as we're on track for 6, so even 8 now is starting to look optimistic.
I mean, if we do win all 5 of the games, then that would be a tie between myself and the world. So
it would be. From
a selfish point of view, I'll take that.
Hey, I would take winning out 5 games. That would be a really positive end to the season, you know, regardless of the fact it would probably just give us a rubbish pick. You never know, the Seahawks might falter, we might get a wild card somewhere, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, I think our chance of the playoffs are like, I mean, there's still a chance, you know. I don't think we're mathematically eliminated just yet, like some teams have been.
It's looming on the horizon, though.
Yeah, we haven't had that indignation just yet, have we?
No, not quite. But yeah, as I said, I expect it coming soon. Especially with, you know, as we're sort of going through it, these like sort of poor performances all round. Who else did it? So we looked at Hollywood Brown's receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns. And obviously this is... So I've adjusted all of the, like, predictions numbers for, like, games missed as well. So, like, we'd originally predicted that he would get, about 60 receptions? That's about our average there, Tom, for about 1,000 yards. He's currently on track to get 84 receptions for 900 yards, which is, you know, pretty good going if he can continue on the pace that he's on.
Yeah, like you say, he has missed a few games of injury, but now he's back. You know, I mean, I can see Kyler Murray still targeting him as much as he was, although maybe not as much because he does have DeAndre Hopkins now, doesn't he? But
yeah, he does. He has the pair of them, which is quite good, but... It's nice because I think, you know, when we were making these predictions, I think we were thinking it might take Hollywood Brown a while to kind of get into the system. But I guess he was just forced to pick it up a lot faster because obviously there was no DeAndre Hopkins for the first 6 games, was it?
Yeah. And obviously Kyle Murray was there looking for him pretty much. I mean, at one point, I think he was the most targeted wide receiver in the league just behind Davante Adams, who, like Kyle Murray was a one-man band himself.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm completely unsurprised by that, given the way that the play was kind of going there. And especially if you look at, you know, receivers that we've got in the end zone and things like that. We predicted things like James Conner's receiving touchdowns, of which he currently has 1. Although, to be fair...
It was a good one, let's be honest.
Yeah, it was a good one. And I did predict that he would only get 1 all season, whereas you predicted he would get 2. So we're kind of both on track for that.
Yeah, I mean, he's got, like, 5 weeks to get 1 more to prove me right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is not going to be a good year for us on these predictions, is it? Just
No. I think the main one for me is looking at that season record and just sort of going, man, thinking we were going to get 12 wins this season, what a different, you know, what a different game that would be. Because, like, so for us to get a 12-win season, you know, we would need to be at the moment 8-4 instead of 4-8, which would be a very different discussion we'd be having at this point.
Yeah, I mean, basically, we're more likely to get a 12 loss season than we are a 12 win season.
Yeah.
Which, again, is not what we predicted at all.
Yeah. If we were 8-4 right now as well, we'd be tied with San Francisco for the top of the NFC West.
I know, and imagine how much better an episode this would be, you know, so speaking about the mid-season.
If we could, at this point, we'd probably be talking about, you know, playoff implications and seeding and things like that. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the playoffs will fall where they may.
We'll be putting our claims for Kyler Murray to be MVP as well, wouldn't we? But
yeah, absolutely.
Alas, not to be.
No, I think unfortunately, as I said, it's not to be. But I guess we'll leave our predictions there for now, and we'll revisit them at the end of the season and see, you know, did we pick up on them at all, or were they just as bad the whole time?
I'm going to go with the latter.
I think it might go with the latter as well.
I mean, well, is there really anything more we want to talk about from the season so far? Because it's just, do we want to relive anything? Is there anything worth reliving?
Honestly, I'm not sure there is. You know, when I was talking about those wins earlier, I was thinking, like, is there any, you know, like a glory moment for the Cardinals? And it's like, not really. Like, a lot of the positives come with, like, a big negative to attach to them as well, right? Like, so I was thinking of, you know, say the win over the Saints. It was a good win, and it was a home win. It was the first home win in ages. But the big negative to that is that we nearly went an entire calendar year without winning a single game at home.
Yeah, I mean, that's just depressing, just mainly for the home fans themselves. You, like, pay ridiculous amounts of money for those tickets every year.
Long season tickets, so expensive, and then you just don't see the Cardinals win at all. And, you know,
I mean, you did get a chance of having that nice jacket this year, though, I suppose.
Was there a free jacket with all of the season tickets?
Well, no, I think you had to be like a member for like 5 years at least. But did you not see, is it Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins had them on? They were like this, like, nice white jacket.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. That looks really sick, actually.
Yeah. I want to buy one off someone, but I don't think anyone would sell them, which is annoying. Because
it's worth checking eBay for, but I do think it's the sort of thing that would probably go for, like, a stupid amount of money.
Good job I've got a stupid amount of money to pay for one.
If only your bet had come in.
I know, I'd be, like, 60 quid closer to that target, but not to be.
But yeah, I guess my main takeaway, I think, from so far this season is that, you know, however well the Cardinals are doing, they're always not that far away from being that same old Cardinals again.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes you wonder, why did we choose the Cardinals to be our team sometimes? It's like, you see everyone else being happy about a season, and then here's us. I mean, obviously, like, the Texans fans wouldn't be happy with their season, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of teams, well, not plenty of teams worse than us, but there's, I mean, even the Detroit Lions, they've had excitement this year. We've had nothing as such, have we?
Yeah,
I mean, we've had some things here and there, you know, like individual plays there, like, but nothing to really be like, yeah, this is a great season. But it's like, we just sat here now considering what's next, because I think we've got 5 more games to sit through. And it's like, do we want to sit through them? I mean, yes, we do, because we've got...
Yeah, like, I mean, definitely. I'll still sit through them. I'll still support the Cardinals through them. But it's been a while now that I've been looking forward to the end of the season, because at least something is going to have to change in the off season, you know, and I can't see it getting any worse than this. So presumably it will get better later in the season.
Yeah, I mean, it can get worse than this. Well, I mean, can it get worse?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, obviously we could go to, like, a Lions kind of 0-16 type season, but to be honest, at least that would have some sort of, you know, like, morbid curiosity to it or whatever. But, like, I think, do you know, actually, just the thoughts just occurred to me that the main sin that the Cardinals have had so far this year is not so much the losing, it's the really boring football while they're losing.
Yeah, I mean, there's been... Okay, there's not been much excitement, has there?
Yeah. I mean, it's had its moments, but, like, for a team that has DeAndre Hopkins and Hollywood Brown on it, you know, it's not the most electrifying offense. For a team that's got J.J. Watt on defense and, you know, Isaiah Simmons, a lot of, like, Buda Baker, big talents, it's not been very exciting to watch on defense either, you know. It's been competent at times, but you know, mostly just that.
I mean, I'll always enjoy seeing Buda Baker just tossing himself at any random opponent he can, because that's what he does. But
yeah, body on the line.
Like, I see what you mean, though. It's just nobody's really standing out. Like, I dread to think what our end of season awards are going to look like, because bloody hell. Is anyone going to want to vote in them?
I was going to say, we're going to have a low vote total. I can predict that already, because, I mean, to be honest, if it wasn't for, you know, doing the podcast, if someone sent me a questionnaire that said, you know, who do you think the best and the worst Cardinals of the year are, I'd be like, I don't care. Like, I just want the season to be over. I want a reset.
Yeah, I mean, that does seem to be like the way it's going if we do continue like this. But, you know,
yeah.
Do you want to dwell any more on it, or do we want to talk about? I mean, we don't want to talk about fantasy football, because
no, we don't.
That's
just
as depressing for myself.
Yeah, let's finish up our season recap, shall we? And you know, I don't think there's really anything that I could say to sort of sum up the season more than, oh, let's get it over with already.
Yeah, I mean, can we have like five words from it?
Five word
recap. Yes.
Feels like more losses than this. You can squeeze that last one into one word.
I mean, I've got to cheat with mine, because I'm going to say, thank God it's nearly over.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Even if it's basically two words into one.
Yeah, I can get by that. That's fine. I guess let's briefly go through fantasy football, because I don't have much good to say there either.
Yeah, and I mean, we talk about being battered really badly, but so have career in this football match I'm watching at the same time. But he just scored a really good goal to make it 4-1. So at least they've got some excitement this season.
Yeah.
Unlike the Cardinals. And this is what happens when we decide to record during the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a couple of weeks of this. Like, very specifically date the each episode. Date and timestamp it.
I mean, we could say it's coming home, because, you know, maybe it is. But by the time we do the next podcast, it might not be coming home.
Yeah. Well, France next up, right?
It is, yeah. But I mean, no one wants to listen to that sort of football talk on this.
Yeah, well, we can keep putting off our pick'ems and fantasy for longer if you want.
Nah, we may as well get it over with, because it is what it is, and, you know, we need to pad out this episode even more with bollocks, basically.
Well, I'll tell you straight off that in the Bird Gang Bowl, I continue to just have a dreadful season. You know, it's not the worst team in the world. This is the one that was like auto drafted for me, and I've made some changes and stuff to with free agents that have been about, but I just continue to get like really highly scored upon every week and never meet the targets of what at least NFL.com thinks that it's got, you know, the possibility to do. So I got beaten there 160 to 110. And then in the Dynasty League project, you know, get a better draft pick is sort of well underway there. But, you know, I'm currently down about 50 points. And unless Alvin Kamara and Ryan Succop have the games of their lives, we're not going to overcome my injury riddled team. I've got a completely full injured reserve bench. And much of the rest of my bench has got little red circles underneath them. So I don't know. We might be needing to send some guys to the knacker's yard here.
Yeah, my team in the Bird Gang Bowl had a dreadful week this week. I mean, I did make the right choice at quarterback, but that's not saying much, because I decided to bench Lamar Jackson and his 1.34 points for the Cleveland Browns quarterback who returned, and he scored 5.3 points.
So you get something for it, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I was 4 points better off, but I'm still down like 79 to 117.
Ouch.
Just because basically my wide receivers just didn't turn up this week. I mean, I had Jalen Waddle. I think he had one catch for 9 yards, and it's like
he's never had
a season that bad.
I was going to say, you know, there's so many guys like that, and I feel like this is happening kind of across fantasy this year, where just, you know, individual guys who normally put up good numbers all of a sudden get like a single catch. And sometimes it's like no targets as well.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's a Miami offense as well. Like, you know, everyone raves about how that's been this year, but like one catch for 9 yards, it's like, and he wasn't injured. I swear he wasn't injured. And then the Dynasty League, I am up by 5 points at the moment. But I am playing against Dean, who I did make a trade with last week, and he's got Chris Godwin left to play. who I traded to him.
So we'll see if the top 10 anime betrayals happens then.
I mean, if he wants to like go down it. But I mean, if I win, it doesn't make much difference because it'll only put me up to 4 and 9 for the season. Whereas if he wins, he'll be like, I think due to results elsewhere, he may go to top of the league. So do I want to deny him that? Possibly.
I mean, that would be fun. It's always fun to, you know, make effects at the top of the league, even if you're not there.
Yeah, I mean, it would make much difference to my draft standing because, like, 4 and 9, I'd still be, I think I would still be thinking, actually, 4 and 9. So I'd still be, like, picking 2nd overall.
I don't think anyone's catching that 1st overall pick anymore.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, 2 and 10. I mean, it's only one game between us, but yeah.
It's only
I play until the end anyway.
Yeah, of course. Of course, you go. That's the thing is, like, you know, I am a big proponent of like playing it through and you know, giving it a shot, even in a dynasty league.
I mean, I would tank, but I mean, next week I do play Darren, who is like 4 and 8 at the moment, so he's like picking 3rd. So whoever loses that one will probably pick 2nd in the draft.
Yeah.
And then the last week, God, it's coming up to the last week of fantasy already.
I know.
Yeah, that's against a team in the playoff run, so obviously I'd like to be fair in that one and obviously not try and jeopardize someone else's playoff spot by putting in a team just so I can lose.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, I mean, coming up for the last week of fantasy, and I don't have a single league anywhere where I think I'm in with a shot. I've just had an awful year.
Yeah, it's just one of those years of fantasy. Like, I've had a couple of like good weeks with some teams, you know, like it looks like maybe they're going to put a run together and then they like just put up a stinking performance that week and then it's like, oh, never mind, I'll live next year.
Yeah. How'd you get on in the pick'ems? Because I went from having a really good week last week. I had 11 points despite the fact that the Colts managed to beat the Steelers on Monday Night Football. I had 11
like someone predicted.
Like you predicted, yeah. I only had 6 points this week though. Although I do have the Buccaneers to beat the Saints to get me up to 7.
I'm on 10 points this week.
Oh, that's a good week.
Yeah, I mean, I have been let down by teams that probably shouldn't have let me down, so like the Falcons. The Chiefs, that's a bit of a shock, isn't it? Patrick Mahomes losing for the first time in December, if I remember rightly.
It was going to happen sooner or later, I suppose.
Sadly, it wasn't us beating him in December. No. But then again, we're not playing him in December.
Yeah, lost to him already in September, you know, got that out of the way quickly.
Yeah, but I mean, I'd like to see us break someone's streak just because we can, but not to be 10 points. I've got the, like you say, you've got the Buccaneers. I've also got the Buccaneers. I'm not going to say the Saints because, well, then maybe I mean, it would sound like a genius again.
It would be a pretty outside pick, but I suppose this season, you never know. I mean, I've seen the Buccaneers have lost it a couple times this season, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I would like to see the Buccaneers lose, especially with Godwin not doing anything, but, you know, that'd be petty, wouldn't it?
Maybe, but maybe not.
I mean, petty's my middle name, so never mind. I suppose we do have one last thing to talk about this episode, and that is, I mean, we don't want to talk about the return of Cardinal football, but we do have the return of Cardinal football. Although, thankfully, we do have to wait a day longer for it, because, once again, it's a primetime game on Monday Night Football.
I'm shocked that they're not flexing us out of these more.
Apparently they can't flex the Monday Night Football games. They're set in stone before the season.
Oh, interesting.
Well, until next year anyway. So that rule change is coming 365 days too late to save us from this misery.
Yeah. A misery of staying up really late. You know, facing Mac Jones's Patriots. What do we reckon about the Patriots so far this season?
I mean, they're just they're no longer the team they were under, like, Tom Brady, really. Like,
no, they're not.
You're not, like, perennial title contenders. They're just
they're
the middle of the pack, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they're very specifically last place in the AFC East, which obviously used to be their punching bag, you know. But they're running a 500 season at 6-6.
How the turntables.
Yeah. I suppose like that's one of the things I really like about the NFL is that, you know, however big and everlasting a dynasty looks, it can always fall.
Yeah. And I mean, like 6-6, you know, we'd probably kill to be 6-6 at the moment, wouldn't we?
Yeah. It's Obviously, I think 6-6 in our division looks very different to 6-6 in the AFC East does anyway.
I mean, it's still possibly... I mean, it is actually still... Yeah.
Oh, they have the chance to all get into the playoffs, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, looking at the rest of the AFC, we've got the Chargers at 6-6. And so it's basically between those two for the last wild card spot because...
To be fair, like I do...
So. Yeah, because it's three wild card spots, isn't it? And then the four division winners.
Yeah.
So literally all three could come from the AFC East.
I'm just looking at it and I'm thinking, you know, like that could be fair. Like that's a tough division this year. And to get any, you know, wins inside that division, never mind, you know, wins outside of it as well, like that's shows you're a good team.
Actually, no, it might not be. I mean, you could still get two wild card spots, but three might be pushing it because you've got obviously the Bengals at 8-4, the Ravens 8-4 as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, I looked it up before and it was, you know, it's at least possible to get in there. It's maybe not that likely, but it's possible.
I mean, there's probably like some division games in the last 5 weeks of the season, isn't there? So that'll shake things up a bit more as well.
Yeah, but no, it's obviously like, yeah, as you said, not the same Patriots as, you know, we would have faced it when they were led by Tom Brady. And Mac Jones seems to be a bit up and down this year, but it's a team that's well capable of winning and winning tough games as well.
Yeah, which doesn't seem to be something you can say about the Cardinals this year, is it?
Well, definitely not. I mean, I'm going to say straight off the bat, I'm sort of pessimistic about this one, despite the fact that this is one of the games that we kind of pegged at the start of the season as a winnable one, especially kind of coming into the later part of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those ones that you could look at and think, you know, I mean, it is at home. You know, the Cardinals, I suppose it is on prime time, so that's also questionable for the Cardinals, as is a home game.
Yeah.
You know, it's a sort of game you'd want them to win, but will they win?
I mean, I would say for sure. Like, I'm looking at the next stretch of games, right? Because we've got the Patriots, then we're going to Denver to face the Broncos. Then we've got Buccaneers, Falcons, and 49ers, which is a tough stretch there. But I think, you know, like, if we were going to put together back-to-back wins at any point this season, this week and next week would be the time to do it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, especially with, like, the struggles for the Broncos this year. You know, some guy called Russell Wilson there.
Well, we've already covered the dreadful Broncos and Russell Wilson, and I'm slightly dreading going there because, like, I would hate to be the team that, like, went and handed them a win.
That's going to be such a bad game, and we'll get to talk about it next week, but... Spoiler alert, I'm probably going to just say it's like field goals for everyone.
Well, given that the Ravens game finished, 10-9?
I think it finished a bit earlier than 10-9.
Ah, very funny.
No, yeah, I understand what you mean, though. It's just low scoring, shit football.
Yeah,
two bad teams, an injured quarterback, but we don't need that because we've already had that.
Yeah, I could really do without that again. But yeah, I mean the Patriots sort of season so far this year, they're not putting up, you know, huge amount of points. Even when they do win, I'm looking through here and they put up 38 points against the Browns and 29 points against the Lions. But other than that, they seem to be kept below 30 in every other game.
Yeah, I feel like everyone's putting up points on the Lions this year, though, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like, even when the Lions win, they win like 40-35 and stuff like that.
See, that's what I mean. Detroit Lions fans have exciting football. We just get shit football this year.
Yeah, at least there's like scores and stuff like that happen there. Although when the Patriots faced them, they did get beat 29-0, which would have been... not so fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, we've been shut out before. We haven't been shut out before because those games never existed.
No, exactly. But yeah, Patriots coming to the Cardinals, I'd say like it's a tough one to call exactly like what the outcome will be. I do think that the Cardinals, I still think it's a possible winnable game. And if there's anything to salvage from this season, it's got to be done in the next two games.
I think the big prediction will be is, will I make it to the full-time whistle this time with it being on Monday Night Football?
Or will you fall asleep and or just like leave? Because you just left with the fourth quarter for one of the games recently, right? One of them.
I did, yeah, the Mexico City game because that was dreadful.
It was. That was truly something. Truly something awful.
I mean, I don't have the excuse of going to work the next day this time now because I'm off for the next couple of weeks, so...
Got some holiday, yeah.
Yeah, but do I want to waste my holidays watching the Cardinals? Yes, I do. That is what I will be doing.
Absolutely. But you know what? Like, it just needs to be not as much of a clear blowout, I would say. Like, I would actually set up and, like, sort of watch some bad football as long as it was close enough that the there was still a chance of winning the game.
Yeah. I mean, we could keep it close and, you know, keep it fun at least going into the final quarter. I'll take that over what happened in Mexico. And the thing is, I don't see the Patriots having that good of an offense to put too many points on us.
Well, that's just it as well. Like, I mean, it kind of almost depends what defense shows up, right? Because we've had some pretty good defensive games so far this season, but, you know, they do get tired out at a certain point if the offense can't stay on the field.
Yeah, exactly. So that's not helpful. Should we have some predictions?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with a low-scoring, high-kicking kind of game in you know, with the World Cup on and everything like that. And I might go for a 13-10 win for the Cardinals.
Okay. I mean, obviously, I've got to go for a Cardinals win because even in the bleakest of times, I'll still pick a Cardinals win regardless.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm going to go for 23-20 to the Cardinals. And, you know, they can hit the over this time, unlike the Washington football team the Giants.
That would be nice. Oh, man. What an odd season that we've had. And as I said, I'm looking forward to it being done pretty soon. It would be nice to get one or two wins at least out of the next 2 weeks. It would save some level of humiliation at least. Can't say I'm the most optimistic about that, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things, isn't it? Like, the sooner the season ends, the better, because then, I suppose, then we don't have to do a podcast then, do we?
Yeah, well, we'll at least do our post-season podcast, and there's usually some sort of news. I remember after Bruce Arians retired, we did an extra couple podcasts here and there about the coach's race and who was coming through on that.
Yeah, but we may not have to do that this year, but maybe we will. So who knows? I suppose we have to stay tuned, don't we?
Yeah, stay tuned for next week when we'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming, although it will be out later because obviously we're playing on Monday night. And we usually record on a Monday night. And we'll be back to break down the Cardinals versus the Patriots with hopefully our fifth win of the season as well.
Or if not, it'll just be a case of more misery, misery Monday / terrible Tuesday.
Yeah, tune in next week to see us go insane more slowly yet again.
Yeah, so as always, if you're not following us on Twitter, go follow us at British Beard Gang. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/British Beard Gang. That's the group. So you find the page is facebook.com/British Beard Gang. Buy British Beard Gang merch at britishbeardgang.tmil.com. And of course, if you like to listen to on the podcast, then leave us a review wherever you should get your podcast from. And as always, you know, anyone who listens to right to the end of this podcast, you know, they're kind of a legend.
Hey. We now know that there are people who do it as well. So hello to everyone who's listening to the end.
I hope they enjoyed the Brazil game better than we did any Cardinals game this past week.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, as always, thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll see you again next week for episode 156. And we say see metaphorically because we can't actually see you and you can't see us.
Yes, indeed. Next week. And for this week, thanks for listening and goodbye.
See you again next week when it's coming home. Goodbye.